Have you ever found yourself just, nodding along to an investment truth? Something that feels like it's always been the way things are done, especially when it comes to planning for retirement.
Those bedrock ideas.
Exactly. But what happens when one of those truths suddenly, well, isn't so true anymore?
Right.
Today, we're going to tear into one of those big ones, the 60-40 portfolio. I mean, for decades, this has been the absolute foundation of retirement investing, almost synonymous with stability.
It really has the go-to model.
Our journey today, it's guided by this really insightful analysis we've been looking at. It's a deep dive into the market turmoil we saw recently and what it actually means for how we think about risk and growth.
Okay.
So our mission here is to unpack how this strategy, which seemed almost bulletproof, faced this just extraordinary challenge. And maybe more importantly, what lessons we can all draw from it for navigating, well, today's pretty complex economic world.
And that challenge, like you said, it was nothing short of seismic for financial planning. I mean, for generations, the 60-40 portfolio really stood as the model. People celebrated it for being balanced, growth and risk management all sorted.
Right.
But what this analysis really brings home is how its, let's say, inherent vulnerabilities were just starkly, almost brutally exposed back in 2022. And that's prompted this huge reevaluation of whether it's still as effective as we all thought.
Okay, right. Let's unpack that for a second, just for anyone who might be newer to this concept. The 60-40 portfolio, it's actually pretty straightforward in theory.
Yeah, simple concept.
You allocate 60% of your investments to stocks. That's for the long-term growth potential, right? And then the other 40% goes into bonds. Now, the idea with bonds is, well, twofold. They're meant to offer a steady income stream, and crucially, they're supposed to dial down the overall ups and downs, the volatility of your portfolio.
Smooth the ride, basically.
Exactly. And the genius behind it, or at least the assumption we've relied on for so long, it's rooted in this thing called negative correlation.
Ah, the key relationship.
Yeah, think of it like this. Traditionally, when stocks hit a rough patch and start to fall, bonds tend to do the opposite. They gain value.
Right. They zig when stocks zag.
Precisely. So they act as this sort of cushion, softening the blow to your overall wealth. It's always been seen as the cornerstone of balancing, ambition with prudence.
And that design, it wasn't an accident. It was very carefully engineered to provide, well, moderate risk exposure and, really importantly, to smooth out returns over long periods. And that characteristic made it super appealing, especially for people getting close to retirement or already in it. They often prioritize that steady income and keeping their capital safe over, chasing really aggressive high-risk growth.
Makes sense.
It wasn't just a strategy. For many, it was the strategy, seen as this reliable path to a secure financial future.
But then 2022 happened?
Yeah, then came 2022.
The analysis we're digging into, it describes that year as just an extraordinary test for this conventional wisdom. And frankly, it was a test it failed quite spectacularly. The details are pretty sobering when you look at them. The S&P 500, the broad market benchmark, it plunged by about 19%.
Which is rough, but not unheard of for stocks.
Right, tough, but we've seen down years. But what really sent shockwaves through the financial world was what happened with bonds.
Ah, yes, the safe part.
The supposed safe haven. Core bond investments, they fell by around 13%. That's their worst downturn in decades. I mean, that's an eye-watering figure for something usually considered, well, stable.
Absolutely. And this is where that conventional wisdom truly got, well, upended. We've always relied on bonds to be that counterweight, right? To gain value when stocks are falling.
For a cushion.
The cushion. But in 2022, both of them, stocks and bonds, they tumbled together.
Wow.
And this really unusual, this dual downturn, meant that the perfectly balanced 60-40 portfolio took an approximate 25% hit.
25%.
Yeah. Its worst yearly performance in over 40 years. It was just a complete reversal of what everyone expected. It really pulled the rug out from under a lot of long-term plans.
That is quite a reversal. I mean, it really makes you stop and think. So, what was the absolute the root cause of this traditional model just faltering so dramatically?
Well, the core issue, and the analysis really hammers this home, was the fundamental breakdown of that negative correlation between stocks and bonds that you were just talking about. Historically, when the stock market faced headwinds, rising bond prices would pretty consistently temper the overall portfolio losses. They were like a reliable shock absorber.
Right, that was the deal.
That was the deal. But the landscape shifted dramatically in 2022. We saw this persistent, really high inflation. which forced central banks, like the Fed, to start hiking interest rates aggressively, very aggressively.
Okay.
And this monetary tightening, it caused bond yields to shoot up sharply, which in turn drove bond prices down.
The inverse relationship.
Exactly. And this wasn't happening in a vacuum. It was happening at the same time as the stock market was declining.
So they both went down together.
In tandem. Mm. It was this really unprecedented alignment of negative forces that just stripped the 60-40 portfolio of its main protective feature.
So it wasn't just one single thing then, but like a convergence of factors.
Precisely.
Our study really emphasizes how this whole situation exposed the portfolio's, well, deep reliance on a particular kind of economic era, an era characterized by falling interest rates and disinflation.
Right. Low inflation, falling rates.
Conditions that, let's be honest, had basically prevailed for almost four decades.
A very long time.
But as the analysis points out, these fundamental conditions just reversed sharply. In 2022, it's almost like the rules of the economic game completely changed overnight.
Absolutely. And, you know, we probably can't overlook the role that other factors played, like growing U.S. national debt and expanded fiscal policies. They likely amplified those inflationary pressures.
Adding fuel to the fire.
Kind of. These factors put extra strain on traditional assets right when they needed to perform their usual roles. Now, look, it's true. The 60-40 portfolio showed amazing resilience through countless market corrections over, what, 150 years?
It's a long track record.
A very long track record. But this unique economic regime shift we've witnessed recently, it just rendered that classic strategy far less effective. It's not that the strategy was flawed forever, but maybe the environment it was built for just, well, changed.
It really sounds like the old rule book needs a serious update then. So, okay, if those traditional pillars aren't holding up quite the same way, what new approaches are starting to gain traction, especially for safeguarding things like retirement savings?
That's the critical question now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And in light of these shifts, assets like gold and other commodities have definitely garnered renewed and pretty significant attention.
Gold, okay.
Gold, for instance, is widely recognized and has been for centuries as a pretty robust hedge against inflation and currency risk. Its value tends to hold up or even increase when there's economic uncertainty. It often moves independently of traditional stocks and bonds.
And what's truly fascinating here, and this was a powerful point in the analysis, is that by 2025, some of the world's largest central banks actually increased their gold holdings.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, to levels that exceeded their U.S. Treasury reserves for the first time since 1996.
Wow. That is a profound statement.
Isn't it? Coming from the very institutions that often set the tone for global financial stability.
It really underscores gold's enduring appeal as a safe haven, doesn't it? Especially when maybe faith in traditional currencies or government bonds starts to wobble a bit.
Mm.
Historically, if you look back, during periods of persistent inflation and sort of broader financial market stress, gold and silver have quite consistently tended to outperform both stocks and bonds.
Okay.
They offer this valuable form of portfolio diversification that really holds up when those traditional assets are struggling. And that's partly because their value isn't directly tied to corporate earnings or interest rate policies in quite the same way.
I see.
So this brings us to maybe a broader insight from the analysis, including a, you know, thoughtfully considered allocation to commodities within a portfolio can provide a really crucial buffer. A buffer against inflation and geopolitical risks.
Risks that maybe stocks and bonds don't fully cover.
Exactly. Risks that, as 2022 showed us so vividly, stocks and bonds just don't fully capture on their own anymore.
So gold is clearly one powerful avenue people are looking at. But does the analysis point to other strategies or maybe a broader shift in just how investors should think about constructing a portfolio in this, well, new environment?
Yeah, that's a great follow-up because while gold and commodities are definitely a significant focus in the analysis, particularly as that hedge, the underlying principle is really about a deeper, maybe more sophisticated approach to diversification itself. It's about looking beyond assets that have traditionally moved together or are now moving together.
Okay, so not just adding gold.
Not just adding gold, though that's part of it. The report suggests investors should consider a broader spectrum of what are called real assets.
Real assets. Like what?
Well, this could mean carefully evaluating allocations to things like inflation-protected securities, to CHAZ, Treasury inflation-protected securities. They're designed to adjust with inflation.
Ah, okay.
Or exploring other alternative asset classes, maybe specific private equity opportunities if that's suitable for the portfolio, or even certain strategies within real estate that might offer some inflation protection.
So thinking outside the traditional stock bond box.
Exactly. The core message seems to be that modern diversification needs a more forward-looking perspective. We can't just rely on historical correlations that, well, might not hold true anymore in this environment of higher inflation and interest rate volatility.
Right.
It's really about building a portfolio that can potentially perform across different kinds of economic conditions, not just the one we got used to for the last few decades.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting because it's not just, you know, independent analysts selling this. Even the biggest players, the major financial institutions, they seem to be weighing in on this shift too.
Oh, absolutely. You're seeing leading financial institutions publicly reconsidering that traditional 60-40 model.
Oh.
The analysis we looked at specifically highlights strategists from giants like BlackRock and Bank of America.
Okay.
And they're openly acknowledging that, yes, returns from the classic portfolio have decreased, while at the same time, volatility has increased in recent years.
Yeah.
This isn't just theory for them. It's what they're seeing in the actual market data.
So they're seeing the same problem.
They are. And furthermore, you have major hedge funds like Bridgewater Associates. They're known for their big picture macro perspectives.
Yeah.
They're actively recommending that investors strategically diversify into commodities, including precious metals, specifically to enhance portfolio resilience.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just offering vague advice here. They're putting their substantial reputation behind these kinds of shifts.
So what's driving these giants, these huge institutions, to make such significant recommendations? I mean, feels like a huge shift from what we've heard for so long.
Well, this raises an important question, doesn't it? And the answer seems to be data. They're relying on sophisticated data models. And these models are clearly showing that a rising share of portfolio risk is now stemming from those correlated declines, stocks and bonds falling together.
Ah, the correlation risk again.
Exactly. They recognize that just relying solely on those two traditional pillars leaves investors pretty exposed, especially to inflation shocks and interest rate shocks.
Yep.
Therefore, they're advocating for these alternative assets and strategies that inherently reduce that specific vulnerability. These institutions are essentially reacting to the data and adapting their playbooks to this new economic reality.
And for you, listening to this as someone navigating your own financial future, hearing these insights from major institutions really underscores this growing awareness across the whole industry. Effective retirement investing now truly demands adaptation. You have to adapt to this new economic reality.
Yeah.
It's not about throwing out everything we knew, but definitely understanding which principles need a serious adjustment.
Yeah.
So for you, whether you're maybe nearing retirement or just starting out building your long-term wealth, the lessons from these recent market events, they're genuinely significant. Our deep dive here, let's be clear, isn't about giving specific financial advice.
No, absolutely not.
But it is about sharpening your understanding of what seems to be a crucial paradigm shift in investment thinking.
Precisely. I think the core takeaway is that just relying solely on traditional stock bond diversification, well, it may no longer provide the level of risk mitigation it once did, particularly in this kind of environment, one marked by persistent inflation and tightening monetary policy. So it becomes really imperative for investors, for you, to not only grasp the structural risks that might be inherent in your current portfolios, but also to actively stay informed. Be agile regarding these evolving market dynamics.
The world changed.
The world has changed. Mm-hmm. And so our approach to building portfolios probably needs to change too.
Absolutely. And this deep dive, it's really designed to encourage that critical awareness, to help you think through diversification principles and understand the bigger economic picture, the conditions that can profoundly affect your portfolio's stability.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about empowering you with knowledge. Knowledge to ask better questions, maybe of your advisor, maybe just of yourself, and make more informed decisions for your own unique financial journey.
Well said.
You know, the collapse of the 60-40 portfolio's protective mechanisms during that 2022 downturn, it doesn't seem like just an anomaly anymore. It really marks a critical moment in thinking about retirement investment strategy.
Yeah, a turning point, perhaps.
It feels like a wake-up call. A call to reassess what we truly consider diversified and resilient when we build a portfolio.
And understanding these profound shifts is just absolutely essential for navigating retirement planning in today's really complex global economy. It truly is. As these traditional asset classes face new and potentially sustained challenges, adopting a fresh perspective on balancing risk and reward isn't just, you know, advisable.
It's necessary.
It feels necessary now for securing your financial future.
So as you consider your own financial journey, maybe think about this. What other long-held assumptions about stability, about diversification, might be worth a closer look in this evolving economic paradigm? Something to ponder.